Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. We pray that you'll be encouraged with the message today.
Let's send our Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And we're going to read verse 1 to verse 4. Then we'll go to our main text for today. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. And then we'll go to our main scripture that we are looking at. Our title today, Things Which We Have Seen and Heard. Amen. Things which we have seen and heard. That's what we'll be looking at again today. And we trust God that God is going to speak to us. Amen. And that we're going to be encouraged in our spirits. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 First John chapter 1 and verse 1 to 4. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. What was heard, seen, and touched? That's what the title in New King James Version says. So this one says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4. And as we shared last week, a miracle took place in Acts, chapter 3. A man who was 40 years lame since he was born, after Peter and John declared to him, Silver God, I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And eventually when that miracle takes place, the rulers, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees get angry because Peter and John have done a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ, and they are declaring that salvation is not in any other, is in none other apart from the name of Jesus Christ. So in verse 13 of Acts chapter 4, after they have commanded them and questioned them, in whose name and by what power have you done this? In verse 13, the Bible tells us, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they would say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to this man? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads not further among the people, let us severely threaten them, and from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done, for the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle.
Amen.
Amen. Recap last week, I said, it matters what you see and hear in life. Amen.
Amen.
I said that some people have made right decisions based on what they saw and based on what they heard. But also, others have made wrong decisions and suffer devastating consequences in life, again, based on what they saw and based on what they heard. And we saw last week that repentance and accepting Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, and ignorance is not an excuse. We saw last week that there is a day when God is going to restore all things as He declared from ancient times. And after Peter and John have done the miracle by the name of Jesus Christ, there is an arrest, there are warnings, and there are threats that come their way, and they are told, don't speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter gives them a response, and he says, we want you to understand and know that we are only accountable to God and to God alone and not man, based on the things which we have seen and based on the things which we have heard. The command that the Sadducees and the priests and the rulers and the elders and the scribes were giving them was in contrast to the command that Jesus had given. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, these are the words that Jesus spoke, starting from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And they had heard that. They had heard that all authority on earth and in heaven had been given to Jesus. So if somebody says, I am a man of authority, immediately those are borrowed robes. That authority you cannot have except that which the Lord gives you. So Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he says, based on the authority that has been given to me, I charge you, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And he finishes with amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The word amen means let it be so. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says let it be so. Let it be so that you go and make disciples of all nations. Everywhere you go, make disciples. And when you make these disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And you have to teach them to observe, to obey all the things that I have commanded you. And Jesus tells them, and lo, I am with you always. Not sometime. Not when I think that I want to be with you. No, 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 no. He says all the time, always, I am with you, and I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. So even at this time, when they are threatening them, when they are commanding them, don't teach in the name of Jesus, don't do anything in the name of Jesus, they knew that Jesus was with them. Because they had heard. Because they had seen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If they did what the authorities were telling them to do,
then what Jesus commanded was not going to happen. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we saw last week, Jesus says to them, "And you shall receive power." After that, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." And that's exactly what Peter and John do. They witness about what Jesus can do in the people's lives. And I want to say this morning, what the Lord was able to do that time, He's able to do in this day and age. So Peter and John tells them, yes, we will give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. We will honor the state authorities, but not when they tell us to dishonor God. Amen. And that should be our stand.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That we will obey the authorities. That we will give honor to whom honor is due.
Yes.
That we will give respect to whom respect is due. But not when they tell us to contravene what the Lord says.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, we are going to honor our parents. And we're so grateful that it is by them that we came on planet Earth. And them we are going to respect, but not when they tell us to dishonor God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, we're going to respect our boss. Yes, we're going to give them all the honor due to them.
Yes.
Because of the opposition they occupy. But when they tell us to dishonor God, the line is drawn. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, we are going to respect Pastor McDuff. Yes, we are going to honor him and say, "You are our pastor." But only on one condition: when you tell us to honor God.
Amen.
The day you come, Pastor McDuff, and tell us to dishonor God and that you make us believe you are God, we are going to walk away.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because only God and God alone we will honor. Only God and God alone we will respect. Only God and God alone we will give all the praise and all the honor. Any other man, we will respect you based on the position you have. But when you tell us to dishonor God, the line is drawn. You choose. You judge which side you think we're going to belong to. Because we know we are going to belong to the side of the Lord. And this stand has led to conflict and persecution to this day. To the believers, it can be a challenge to our faith. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter 7 and in verse 13, Jesus said something else very profound. Mark chapter 7, verse 13. And this is what the word of God says. Mark 7, 13. I'll begin with verse 9. Jesus is telling them, defilement comes from within. Let me begin from this one. I'll go all the way to verse 13. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault.
Yes.
When people want to find fault with anything, they'll find fault. No matter what you say, no matter what you do. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. So the Bible is telling us there was even a way that they had to wash hands. If you wash hands in a totally different way from the way that hands have to be washed, you have contravened the law. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and heard, like the washing of cups, the washing of pitchers, the washing of copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, meaning Jesus. Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And I want you to take note, that's the second time the word tradition has come up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He answered and said to them, Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? Yes, Osama, this man. These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hoard the tradition of men. That's the fourth time that word is coming up. The washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Number five. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and you kisses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Now, the Bible is already telling us as children of God that we must do something for our fathers and mothers.
Amen.
There's a tradition sometimes in the church that you do a lot of things for your pastors and then you forget your mothers. And then you forget your parents. That's against the word of God.
Amen.
Whether they are born again or not born again. Say amen.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying is true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes we think if we bless the pastor more, God is going to bless us more. Don't let us not break the scriptures.
Amen.
Only Pastor Emma is saying amen. And I will be money after the rest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God, the word of God is very, very clear. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, because of these things which you have propagated, you have made the word of God of no effect through your tradition. That's number 60. That word tradition is coming in 13 verses.
Yes.
You made the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
One of the things that makes the word of God of no effect is when we cannot differentiate where you stand as far as tradition is concerned and where the word of God is concerned.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, your amen today is hard.
Amen.
Amen. When we cannot, differentiate where you stand as far as tradition is concerned, and in this church, many traditions are represented. Some of us are Chewas.
Mm.
Some of you are Ngonis.
Mm.
Some of you are Manganjas and Senas and Tumbukas and Tongas. Some of you are Hondes.
Mm.
All of us, we come from a place where there is tradition.
Yes.
And most of the times, the tradition of men is always in opposition to what God's word says.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we can go back in our tradition, we are going to see that really most of the times our tradition is against what the word of God says. And when you become a child of God, there is only one tradition you have to subscribe to, what the word of God says.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We will support our family members.
Yes.
We will support our parents.
Mm.
We will support anyone else. Because we will give, we will support, we will do what the word of God says. But when they begin to say, this is what you have to do, and it is against what God's word says, then please draw the line yourself and see which side you're going to be to.
Amen.
Unfortunately, most of us Christians, we compromise.
Yes.
And because we compromise, we make the word of God of no effect.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shadrach and Meshach Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fasted. And they told the king, they told Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, you know what, king? Some of these things you don't need to guess. Some of these things are very, very clear in terms of where we stand.
Yes.
In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, the very furnace has been, the heat has been strengthened. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. There are some things that we should be able to tell people. You know what? You already know where I stand.
Amen.
And there's no need for me to answer you on this issue.
Amen.
Because you know where I stand.
Amen.
Where did Nebuchadnezzar, where did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood? They said, if that is the case, that you say, if we don't bow to this idol of yours, you are going to throw us in the fiery furnace. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king.
Yes.
But I love verse 18. But if not, if on this day, the God whom we serve,
yes,
the God whom we know, the God of whom we have heard, the God of whom we have seen, if on this day he chooses not to deliver us, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the God image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar, choose, because the line has been drawn.
Amen.
And that was not a statement of doubt.
Yes.
It was like, we are ready to die.
We
are ready to die for what we believe in. I am ready to die to obey, by obeying what God's word says concerning my duties and my role as a husband to my wife.
Amen.
Before men come to God, how many people?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, the word of God is clear.
Yes.
Who lives? The husband.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible says.
Yes.
You shall leave your father and mother.
Amen.
And you shall cleave to your wife. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when you cleave, you cleave. That's what the Bible is saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I can carry on and on and on. But I told you already the other day,
yes,
that I came to understand why the Bible says you shall leave.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. If you won't go into the scriptures and start the word, what will you do? But these guys tell Nebuchadnezzar, says, you know, king, this issue is no brainer. There should be some things in your life that are no brainer. That when we see Pastor Amos in a certain situation, we all know what he is going to do. He shouldn't begin to say, Lord, can you reveal your will to me? The will of God is already known.
Amen.
Love your wife as Christ loves the church.
Amen.
Not as you love your mother.
Amen.
Because some of you, your mother speaks more to you than your wife speaks to you. Than what the word of God says. The Bible says love. Did your mother give birth to you? Yes, we know. If God is concerned, he says you love your wife. Your mother is Christ loving the church.
Amen.
Because your mother is not your wife.
Amen.
I don't know why they look at Sabbath. It's clear. It's very, very clear.
Amen.
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 Mordecai vested. When Haman came up with his scheme, all the Jews in this land, this is what they have to do. Mordecai says, no. We know where we stand.
Yes.
And we don't need to begin to ask each other about this. Joseph faced it. Joseph eventually told Mrs. Potiphar, says, in this house, madam, something is very, very clear.
Yes.
And what is clear in this house is that your husband has left everything in my hands.
Yes.
There is no one greater in this house than I. That's Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. Joseph tells me, says, Potiphar, no one in this house is greater than I.
Yes.
Nor has he kept anything from me but you, because you are his wife. So how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How? Those things should be made very clear in our lives.
Amen.
Then you said, Lord, as far as your word is concerned, the line is drawn. Daniel faced it. And he ended up going into the lion's den.
Yes.
For what he stood for. The disciples faced it. Paul faced it. To the point that when Paul finished everything, he says to us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight.
Amen.
I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing.
Amen.
Somehow the Bible is telling us that you and I, as we walk on this journey, as we walk with the Lord, there must be a longing within us that we want to see God.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That we want to see God. That we cry within our hearts and we say, Lord, I want one day to see you. Just as you are. Amen?
Amen.
I know this scripture, when a lot of people have died, it's always included on their tombstone. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. But let me tell you what the Bible says. It's only death of the righteous.
Amen.
That pleases God.
Amen. Amen.
It's not your faith that is going to make them say, no. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Paul faced it. And Paul was ready to die for what he had seen and for what he had heard.
Yes.
Peter and John, they also faced it. And above all, Jesus faced it.
Amen.
And it led to his death. Jesus used to say, I do nothing except that which the Father tells me to. So in this case, in Acts chapter 4, the enemies had power. Nobody can deny it. They had power. But the power they had was no more than that which had been given to them by God.
Amen.
And I love what Jesus told Pilate. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This guy says, I have the right to make you be served, to crucify you or not crucify you. Pilate is telling him openly. Hallelujah. Let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. If you are there, you tell me amen.
Amen.
In John chapter 19, let's go to verse 5. I'll begin from verse 5, much as I'm going to verse 11. Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, behold the man. And this behold the man was not behold the man in respect.
Yes.
This was a ridicule. Because even the crown that was on his head, when you begin to search, just by having a crown of thorns. That crown of thorns was not sitting on the head, though. That crown of thorns, there were thorns pricking right into his heart. And there was blood oozing out, coming out. And Pilate says, "Behold the man." That was a total ridicule. And some of us, by what we believe, by what we walk in, we don't want to be ridiculed. If you want Christianity whereby everybody is going to say, "Oh wow, wonderful man, wonderful woman," then you're in the wrong Christianity. Because this Christianity is always in opposition to those who do not want to obey God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he was the more afraid for his position. Hallelujah. Amen. And the privileges that came with his position. Because when people want to get rid of you, they get rid of you.
Yes.
Ask God and ask Gaddafi. Hallelujah. When people want to get rid of you, they will get rid of you. And because he was more afraid, the Bible tells us, he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Pamenable Jesus in a new world. He says, "This one now I'm going to answer you. The hour when you asked me, 'Where am I from?' I chose not to answer you. But when you begin to tell me you have power to crucify me and power to release me, this one now I need to answer you and put you in the right place." And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has a greater sin." And he's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
Says, "I want you to know, Pilate, people respect you, people do whatever they do to you, but today I want you to understand that this power which you are saying, you could either release me or crucify me. I want you to know you wouldn't have this power unless this power was given to you by God."
Amen.
Imagine telling that to somebody in authority. And they have a gun. "I have the power to kill you and the power to save you." And they say, "You know what? I just want to tell you the truth. This power which you think you have, you wouldn't have unless my God gave you this power."
Amen.
"So don't think you have power."
But
that happens with this
moron.
The guy is uneducated. The guy is untrained. The only thing we can see is that this one has been with Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The enemy may prevail. And I want us as children of God to understand this. The enemy may prevail, but he prevails for a time. And that time that he prevails over us is very, very limited. But he cannot prevail over the cause. The cause of Christ stands impregnable.
Amen.
Nobody can overcome the cause of Christ.
Amen.
Nobody can.
Yes.
The enemy may prevail. We may look like we have been defeated. But I want you to know, at the end of the day, there's somebody who is going to say, "It is finished."
Amen.
And when he declares, "It is finished," it is finished. Some of us, as children of God, I want us to understand, no matter what you go through in your life, choose to stand for the Lord.
Amen.
Choose to stand for the Lord. To the point that even if God does choose not to vindicate you, you still believe Him. You still stand for what His word says.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
He may prevail over our bodies. He may prevail over our lives, but He cannot prevail over our spirits.
Amen.
That's exactly what happened to our brother Stephen.
Yes.
In Acts chapter 7.
Yes.
The guy is being stoned. But it's amazing what happens.
Mm.
They are stoning him. The Bible tells the glory of God came upon him. And his eyes got opened. And he says, I see Jesus.
Yes.
What do you see? What do you see? And because he saw Jesus, he even prayed for the people who were stoning him. Amen?
Amen.
Because he saw Jesus. It matters what you see and it matters what you hear. The early church, the more it was pressed, the more it multiplied.
Yes.
There are some things cannot happen in your life unless you are squeezed.
Amen. Amen.
And you choose which line you belong to. And this is not to wish you squeezing. But praying for you squeezing.
Amen.
Then you choose. Where you stand. Because a lot of people, when they're squeezed, they'll give up their faith.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10, says we are hard pressed. And hard pressed, brothers, is hard pressed.
Amen.
It's as if they are putting you against the wall, and now they have come and taken something else. That weighs I don't know how many kgs. And they begin to push you. And they begin to push you. And you're like, the disciple says, we are hard pressed.
Yes.
We are hard pressed on every side. On the left, hard pressed. On the right, hard pressed. In front, hard pressed. At the back, hard pressed. Above on the head, hard pressed. Underneath, hard pressed. And the disciple says, what are you trying to make me into? A ball? It says we are hard pressed on every side. But even though we are hard pressed on every side, we are not crushed.
Amen.
And I'm wondering how. How? Says we are perplexed, but not in despair. David Sindhu Zafika Botina, Sindhu Zafika Bona Hudi, Kodi, Tipira, Tenguanji. But he says, even though we are in that situation, we are not in despair. That we are going to make a stupid decision. Says we are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And somehow it looks like the way the life of Jesus is going to be manifested in our body, it's when we are hard pressed, it's when we are perplexed, it's when we are persecuted, it's when we are struck down, but we choose not to give up. There is no future in opposing Christ.
Amen.
None. And you and I need to understand that as far as this life is concerned, God and only God is the length of our days.
Amen.
That we say, Lord, I will walk with you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow. Where you lead me, I will follow. And I'm going to follow you all my days. Hard pressed, I will follow you. Struck down, I will follow you. Persecuted, I will follow you. Perplexed, I will follow you. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Because I cannot turn back. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And it's still Peter and John. But there's an additional man. His name is James. But this time when they are healing this sick man, James is not there. In verse 28, Luke chapter 9. Now it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, what included the sayings, take up your cross and follow me. 8 days after, take up the cross and follow me. Amen?
Amen.
8 days after, Peter confesses that Christ, Jesus is a Christ. 8 days after that, the Bible tells us something happened. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Utenga mena na abeleza mwose, ndeli ya uda utenga wa ima. Ambuweda kweda kutitza guzeni, mubida mugafa, Jerusalem bomba. Ena anakuti beleza guzeni, utenga wa muda na nafu kwa basi. Koma jimbembe ya uisi mufa.
Amen.
You shall live and declare the great works of God. That scripture you want to hear. So that one we tell you today.
Amen.
But Jesus was taught a different message.
Amen.
But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. Amen.
Amen.
And the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Utengwa mena adabu eleto utabelega jina Peter ni James ni John Sada umbe. I'm a God. They were sleeping. So they didn't hear the message.
Yes.
So the message of, let us make 1 tabernacle for you, 1 tabernacle for Elijah, 1 tabernacle for Moses, it's good for us to be here, was in contrast to what these guys had come to bring.
Yes.
But somehow, Peter, James, and John recognized that's Moses.
Yes.
They recognized that's Elijah. That one they recognized. That one they didn't miss. Even though their eyes were heavy with sleep, when they woke up and were fully awake, they saw well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. Overshadowing, if you have ever driven towards Blantyre and you meet the mist, that you can't even drive at 10 kilometers per hour, but you have to drive so slowly because the whole road is full of mist. It's what is similar to what is happening here. A cloud comes. If these clouds that are above there just begin to come down and all of us begin to see the cloud come, and it envelops us. Some of you are going to run out of this place. And that's what's happening to them. And they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. So a day comes when now Peter and John are before the Sadducees. A day comes when Peter and John have been arrested. they're being whipped, they're being threatened, and they're being told, not in the name of Jesus. And they say, maybe you're talking about a different Jesus. But this Jesus, we saw him in his glory.
Amen.
So, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, exactly what was going to happen to them if they stand for the Lord, because they knew one day they are also going to appear in glory.
Amen.
But sometimes we don't capture this.
Yes.
We don't capture it. Our eyes are so much on what is happening on planet Earth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they do not only understand that, they heard the Father speak. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son.
Yes.
So if at any time they never believed there is God, on this day they knew there is God. And they knew, he said, hear him. They saw Jesus healing the sick.
Yes.
70% of the ministry of Christ on earth was healing.
Yes.
Was healing.
Amen.
And what Jesus was doing, they saw themselves doing it. And they remembered the Lord saying, greater things than the one I have done, you're going to do.
Amen.
Somehow in our day and age, it looks like it ended with Peter. It ended with John. And then with James. For he who comes to God, believe that he is. And that is the rewarder of them that diligently seek. The reward is not only in heaven, the reward is also here.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But it cannot be compromised.
Yes. Yes.
If you compromise, then it's Psalm 127. This one, unless the Lord builds a house, the building then doesn't build it. And I shared it with you last week. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have a job. It doesn't mean that you're not going to build a house. You're going to build a house. Your life is going to be good, but it's going to be in vain.
Mm-hmm.
They heard Jesus declaring in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of earth shall not prevail against it. It shall not prevail against it. And that truth stands to this day.
Amen.
Peter and John had an encounter with the Most High God. And I know most of us, when a miracle has happened in our lives, when the Lord has come through for us, many times we have said, I have seen God. Can you describe him to us, how he looks? But I know you have said, I have seen God. Have you ever never said that? Have you never said, I have seen God? Just what the Lord has done, you conclude that I have seen God. Your hand tells you, the hand of man cannot do this. And the Bible says, blessed is man whose trust is the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So in Proverbs 4:20, as I begin to wrap up so that we can have Holy Communion and pray. In Proverbs 4:20, there is a word that God speaks to us, and he speaks through the gates of our lives. Proverbs 4:20. My son. We can also read my daughter. So don't just say, hey, Pastor, when he read that one, it was for the sons. It also applies to the sisters.
Amen.
It says, give attention to my words. Pay attention to my words. Pay attention to God's word. It's more or less God is saying, let your mind be settled on me. You're going to lose the battles of life, but the first place, if ever you lose the battle of life, the first place you lose it is in the mind.
Amen.
All the things you have said you cannot do, it doesn't mean that they cannot be done.
Yes.
There are actually others who have done it.
Yes.
People used to say, you cannot run 1 mile in 4 minutes until Roger Bannister did it. until people like you send board ran 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. But prior to that, people used to think it cannot be done. People used to think the wall of Jerusalem cannot be built in 52 days until Nehemiah did it. And if they did it, you can do it.
Amen.
The moment you say, I cannot do it, it's you. Unfortunately, when you believe you cannot do it, you want us also to believe that we can't do it. No, we can do it. Why? How can we do it? I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Who strengthens me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says, incline your ear to my saying. Listen to the word. Your mind is centered on Christ. Your ears ready to hear the word of God. Ready to hear what he's going to say. And he says in Isaiah 30:21, you shall hear a word in your ear saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left, this is the way, walk ye in it. I want to tell you, God to this day still gives direction every day. And it's not the privileged few.
Yes.
God doesn't have favorites.
Amen.
Don't think that God only speaks to Pastor McDowell.
Amen.
Or Pastor Emmons. God can speak to you. Amen. And all this time he has been wanting to speak to you.
Yes. Yes.
He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. But you know what? We tell God, say, hey God, come near now. Come near, God, come near. He says, no, it doesn't work like that. You draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. And you know what? When God begins to draw near to you, and he begins to rub part of himself, pay attention to my words. Let your mind be set on me. Let your ears be ready to listen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
Verse 21. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep looking at what the word of God says. Sometimes I ask myself, this situation I'm in right now, if Jesus was here, what would he say? And the moment I see what he would say, even though it's very difficult, God, and sometimes we have very honest conversations, say, Lord, it's really, really tough. To be honest, if you gave me a choice, I was going to do this. But because I now do it, even though I don't know how it's going, let me just do it. And then in trying to threaten God, I say, Lord, may you be found a liar. But I know you've never lied before. You need to tell yourself, but his word, I will trust.
Amen.
Then he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep the scriptures at the center of your life. Love the word of God with your heart. So God says, your mind on me, your eyes on me, your ears on me, your heart on me. Because God works with his word, and his word is spirit, and his word is life, and his word has got the power to heal. And the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
And but without faith, it is impossible to please. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Father, we pray for the blood which he shed on the cross, to this day, it has never lost its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. And it's able to heal us. It's able to deliver us. It's able to give us a breakthrough. It's able to do the unthinkable. It's able to do the unimaginable. And it's able to do the unbelievable. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond what we can think or imagine. broken for us, let it come to work in our lives today.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Our prayer is that God has spoken to your heart. Be blessed in this week.